We'll have all that and more, including a traditional Irish music group with very unusual origins, later in the show. But I think if we're going to do a segment that touches on taboos, we might as well hit the biggest of them all right off the bat. Sex.
Yep, it seems that as much as sex surrounds us in the media, advertising, and especially on the internet, we still can't seem to loosen up and speak freely about it. And, at least according to one preeminent sex therapist, this is a problem. I'm talking about Ann-Marlene Henning, one of the authors of a brand new sex advice book aimed at the current generation of young people who have had access to pornography via the internet all their lives, but still aren't always ready to be honest with each other about their feelings about sex. The book, published by Rogner and Bernhardt, is called Make Love, and it comes with some pretty provocative photos of real young couples having real sex. So as you can imagine, it's made quite a splash here in Germany since its release a couple of weeks ago. Ann-Marlene Henning joined us from a studio in Hamburg earlier, and we asked her, given this overexposure that we have to sex, why is it that young people still have questions that need answered?
I think actually all this media stuff, that's because sex sells, but that doesn't mean that we talk about it. And they see it, they have to, they can't avoid it, but nobody talks about it. So we still have to say everything that we should have done a long time ago.
You have written a book which is very provocative, a book that goes after taboos. In fact, in the first couple of pages, you decide to list all the words, the slang words, the dirty words that you can think of for male and female genitals. Yeah. Why did you do that?
I think mostly actually because just to show there's no good word for the female genital.
We're talking to you obviously in German, Ann-Marlene. You're Danish and you wrote your book in German. So we're dealing with three languages. And you're telling me that in these three languages, there is not a good word for the female genital organ.
Yeah, I think there's one good one in Sweden. It's fitte. But everything else that I hear is some kind of touch to it that's not... it's not about feeling good, actually.
So is this, do you think, the product of social taboos that still exist around the topic of female sexuality?
Yeah, I think so. There's kind of a men, male, or people being afraid of it. And it is actually also, don't you agree, the mother is there. It's always the mother. Every child comes out, has a mother. And unfortunately, it's the same place that we are talking about. Yeah, that's a little bit Freudian, I think, but that is one of the explanations, actually.
Well, I'm fascinated by this idea of speechlessness, our inability to talk about things which we actually see around us all the time.
Yeah.
I'd like to get to the bottom of what kind of problems are associated with a generation growing up surrounded by sexual imagery, but not feeling that they can talk about sex and particularly talk about the sex that they're having or would like to have.
I think I have to mention porn now. Because what they see is that as pornography, they see people having sex. And there are two problems with that. And that's what they take home. And that's about the role, about male, female. What are they doing in these films? And then the second point is that they do not show pleasure or your own body, use your own body. How do you feel pleasure? They don't show that in those porn films. And that's what the young people takes with them. And I think there's a lot of pressure going on there. And if you don't talk, then every woman would think, or many women, young girls, will think, I can be used. I just have to put myself, the male can use me. And the male thinks, I have to do this for an hour. I have to give it to her all over. These are kind of patterns that they study before they start themselves. And when they are lying there in real life with their partner, they just know that.
Now, if some of the things that you're offering up in your work and in your book are providing people with alternatives to learn about sex as opposed to pornography, on a sort of a superficial level, the book has some similarities with pornography. There are images of actual people having actual sex. Yeah. The photographer, Heiji Shin, took pictures of people having sex with each other. How did she go about getting these pictures?
Yeah, that's a lovely question. I really love that, because if you see pictures, you think, well, they came into the photo studio and there are 10 people standing around doing the lights and please go on, have sex. And that's not the way it happened. I just talked to her and she told me she met with the couples, all these pictures, they did them in two or three times. They got to know each other better. It's not in a photo studio, and Heiji Shin, she doesn't use light. She just makes it like snapshots. They are really authentic because of that. That she connects with the people, and they just meet, and it happens. So it's real and it's authentic, and they wanted to do what they did because it was comfortable. Porn is extra made to arouse people. These are not.
Well, what would you think if people found these pictures arousing and used them as they might use porn?
I wouldn't mind, actually, because what people do at home taking these pictures, it's about arousal. How do I do that with my body alone in my room, in my chamber? And I don't care what people use. It's not important. And I don't think it's an important question if these young persons thought about that. And we asked them, actually, and why did they commit? Why did they do it? And they said, a little bit of kind of a adventure also. But the biggest argument was it's for a good case. That was what they said. They said, we want to contribute, and we understood what you're trying to say. We understand your book, and we want to do this for other people to see.
Well, the fact that so many young people were prepared to take part in the project and to share their personal intimate moments with each other, with Haiji Jin, the photographer, but also with the people reading your book.
Yeah.
What do you think that says about the state of young people and their approach to sex?
Yeah, I'm impressed. They ask when 60% said yes. I think it's important. Why do I talk about sex? Because I want the message out. And that was what they said. We want to contribute. We want to show people it's okay. It's normal. It's feelings. It's nice. And that was why. And they're young. They said adventure too.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, if these young people are already having sexual adventures and are sort of off to a start, let's just say, what is the one piece of advice that you would like to give them as they sort of grow into more mature sexual people?
I think it's feel yourself. Have a look.
That's easy enough.
Yes, it is. It's easy because I'm 48, and I started to learn about all this stuff. I'd say round about 40, and I had good sexuality before, but I did not really know what my body worked like. I did not know that much, and that's what I got to know now because I studied sexo corporel. And that's what I want to tell people. Start to get to know your own body and how you can arouse yourself, and then shift from your hand into the hand of somebody else and do it together. Yes, that's it.
Only by knowing yourself can you know someone else.
Yes, definitely. And then you can say what you like. You can show what you like. And you can start the communication that do not have to be words, does not have to be in words.
Well, Anne-Marlene Henning, author of Make Love, thank you very much for talking to us.